If we look at today's generation and people who are living, we see that it is split into three sectors, three groupings. And if we look at the three groupings, and generally speaking, rather maybe always, a person is always concentrating on his current state of affairs. For example, we have the whole day. If we split into three, one is what is gone, and one is the time that is to come, and one is what is the current situation, the current, the hal. And in our minds, we give more emphasis to the current time, the moment of time we're in. Nobody will think about what's gone, and it's hidden from our minds, but it's not hidden, it's occurred. The example of what has passed, what has gone, and this is a hikmah, there's wisdom that Allah Ta'ala created mankind, and Allah Ta'ala created capacity within us, emotions within us, capabilities within us. And sometimes it will have happened with you, and it happens generally with a lot of people commonly, that after 5, 10, 15, 20 years, after the period of time, a person goes to a certain place, back to his village, and he doesn't know about what has happened before. His focus is on the current moment in time. When he goes after 20 years back to the village, as he's going, he passes by the madrasa or that school, that building where when he was young he used to study. Then what will be that person's state of affairs at that time? His emotions. That person, whoever has some feelings, he will suddenly stop. And after stopping, he'll look towards the madrasa, he'll see children coming out, and he'll look at the walls and he'll think. And suddenly his childhood will come flashing back to his mind. And suddenly he'll start to think, oh, I used to study here, this was my teacher. One day I was scolded by my teacher, I was being naughty that day. My friend, the school with me, I don't know where will he be today. And suddenly all the past will flash, and I can't see my friends anymore. But suddenly the current state of affairs disappears, the future disappears, planning for the future, and the past comes flooding back to mind, to the mind of the person. All lifelong, a person when he goes somewhere to an old place, some memorable place, thinking the past memories, etc., start to flash through his mind. Somebody remembered some examples of love, or maybe when they were oppressed, or for example, a person passes through good places from when he was young or childhood, and if somebody has some connection with somebody and he goes there, then he stays there and remembers that person for a long time. He was my good friend, we had a connection, we used to meet here, we used to socialize here, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this system, and it's very valuable. And the past isn't just restricted to this world, but in reality it's got a big role in the deen of Islam, a very big role with regards to the past. And in reality, the ruh, the spirit of the deen, and the spirit within us, the base within us. What I'm saying is not difficult, is it, to understand? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because it will come slowly, slowly to the topic. Yeah, we're progressing towards the topic. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, all the situation that Allah ta'ala has given to us in our life, in this world and hereafter, with this same sense and same structure, Allah Ta'ala has created our life and focused towards hereafter. If we look at our whole deen, if we look at the deen, we have a lot of things that have happened in the past, and Allah Ta'ala hasn't made that past go away from us. All our deen is in the past, it's history, but it hasn't been lost, or it hasn't been confined to history. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says the remembrance and the memories of the past of our deen is reminded to us daily, daily, regularly. When a person goes through that past, then he learns his deen. I'll give you a big example and you'll be surprised maybe. And there's no greater example than this, that our greatest deen, or the biggest part of our deen, is salah, prayer. What a great action that we carry out. And salah is all in the past, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala has sealed the beauty of salah in the past. These are all memories and things that we've done before. If we get lost, then we will remember what occurred in each of our salahs. Alhamdulillah. This is an ajeeb. There's no greater action than salah is there. come to Fajr, you pray Fajr Salah. Are you just praying and moving? No, there's a big story behind it. How did Fajr come? How did it start? What happened at that time? Who was behind the beginning of Fajr? Yeah, Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi has written about this, and this is also in hadith, that Fajr Salah, this is the memory of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. The Salah of Fajr is the memory of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. When we pray Fajr Salah, then this is a very big scene of the past. What does it remind us? The whole story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam comes in front of us. He was like this, this happened, this happened, this happened. This was the part of our deen. And when this occurred, then after that, he came down to the earth and then he did tawbah, he repented. And at that time, those moments that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's tawbah, repentance was accepted, was the time of Fajr. And that time when he was thankful and his tawbah was accepted, then the two rakats, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he implemented the two rakat of thankfulness. Allah made that Fajr Salah. So I see the history, how it compares. So do you know why you're praying Fajr Salah? And what's the history behind it? Now instead of that history, it doesn't matter how religious a person is, how much he fears Allah, how close he is to Allah, khawf and qurb, he'll be lost in Salah. What were the waqi'ats with Adam alayhi salam? What am I doing? What's my life like? What if I start to disobey Allah? What will happen to me? What if Allah rejects me, expels me? But if somebody is just temporarily passing through deen, then he's not taking in, inhaling the fragrance of the deen. I'm talking about Salah. One example. Like I said, when you pass by the madrasa, then maybe there's one person who never stops, thinks, I used to study here. If somebody's standing next to you, shall I tell you something? This is my school. When I was a kid, I used to study here. There was a teacher, his name was this, and he used to say this. You'll say this, won't you? So do you ever remember Fajr time that this was the punishment and what happened with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam? Then he did tawbah, then Allah accepted, and Allah gave this reward, and Allah makes it a memory forever and ever. See how tawbah is a great action? Anyway, if I go into this topic, then my the subject of today's discussion will come off track. So we leave it there for now. Let's go to Dhuhr Salah. Behind Dhuhr Salah, there's a memory. Where did Dhuhr Salah come from? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. In this hadith is, I think, in Musnad Ahmad. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he did dua for a child, for a son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam a son, Ishaq alayhi salam, and he was happy. It was Dhuhr time when he was born. Then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam straight away prayed four rakah nafal salah. So Allah ta'ala made that Dhuhr salah. Subhanallah. Do you understand now the history behind Dhuhr salah? What a big part of the deen. Yes, if you dig into it and study and research and look at Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's life, then you see this event and you'll realize that Dhuhr salah, the background is this event. Then let's come to Asr salah, the mid-afternoon prayer. Asr, the event, Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam, and there was a unique event that occurred in his lifetime. 100 years, the death was hanging near to him. When he got up after 100 years, and when he was told that you were 100 years, you were not moving, lifeless, and time stopped, he was so happy, he came into happiness and joy when he saw this nur and this miracle, and Allah, your glory, your power, what a great, great proof of Allah Ta'ala's glory and greatness. And straight away, he implemented Asr Salah, four rakah nafil, voluntary prayer, thankfulness to Allah Ta'ala, you gave me life after such a long time, and you took life away from me, and you gave it to me. And then in the Kitab Akhir, this event, Allah Ta'ala collected this event, and he prayed four rakah nafil shukrana. So what did this become? Asr Salah. Is this not a memory? And there are many points about deen in this event. If we were to study and research, we could learn a lot from this event. Then after Asr comes Maghrib. Maghrib Salah. What happened at Maghrib? How did Maghrib arise? How did this Salah come about? This is also Ajib, unique method. In here, within this Maghrib Salah, Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. You know, Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam was extremely ill. Allah gave him cure. What time was it when he got the cure? Maghrib time. Sunset. When he was given the cure, the solution, he was weak. Allah gave him health, sudden health and energy. And then he made niyyah, intention, praying salah, thankfulness, three rakah. He made niyyah for four, but he was very weak. So he got to the third rakah and then he sat down. Subhanallah. So he got to three rakah. So Allah Ta'ala preferred the action and was happy with that, and stated that for Ummati Muhammadi, I will make this Maghrib Salah three rakah, not four. So it became 3 rak'ah. Subhanallah. See the background? From 4, it was reduced to 3. Yeah? So that's the background of Maghrib Salah. I don't understand that people, whoever's there, he's putting his hand on the beard. Why you keep putting your hands through the beard? What a ajeeb habit. Is your beard running away from you? This is not a good habit. That playing with your beard, putting it in your mouth, someone speaking, moving your beard, moving your hairs. For example, we're speaking about the Quran, the deen. This is ajeeb habit. Is the beard something to play with? This is a respectful thing, the beard. That a person, for example, one hair, if it breaks while you're playing with the beard, there's a dhulm, oppression, that you have made the sunnah of the beard shaheed, martyr. Stop this habit, especially in these majalis. When you're sitting in a gathering, when you're sat in front of a person who's doing your tazkiyah, you come for rectification. Obviously, if you're doing tazkiyah in front of somebody, then you have a niya, good intention for that person. So in front of them, there's adab, manners, comportment, a way of sitting. Person who has adab has good destiny. Person who has no adab has bad destiny. Sit with adab, open your ears without any attention. Don't put your hands and other attention to other things. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala says, that person speaking, and if you like them, say subhanAllah time and time again. Pay attention. Allah Ta'ala is paying attention to that person who's appreciating. If you keep on playing, putting your hands and fingers through different things, this is mamnu, extremely mamnu and undesirable in majalis. Anyway, this came into my mind. I seek forgiveness if you took what I'm saying badly, but this is a majlis of islah, rectification, so I felt like I should say this. Sometimes I do this as well. I make this mistake. You should always explain to me. We all insan, human beings, we all make mistakes. We should explain to each other. You could say, Hazrat, what are you doing that you said, and you're doing this yourself? You could say this to me. That obviously, if you see this, no problem. There's no issue there. But always to play with the beard, holding the beard. And us Maulvis, we do this more. Yes, we do this more. People say, what are you doing? You keep on playing with your beard. What are you doing? Yes. Anyway, we other people just say, oh, that I like it and I enjoy it. Anyway, coming back to the point. So as I was saying, which salah did we get to? Maghrib salah. 3 rakat. Why were there 3 rakat? Because Hazrat Yubla said, I can't get up for the 4th, I'll pray the rest sitting down. Then Allah said, 3 is enough. Maghrib was destined, 3 was destined for Maghrib. And then if we keep on asking him, the Quran will tell us the story, the event, the things that happened with Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala gave him illness, then gave him health. After every salah, remember, don't forget any branch of the deen. The actions of Islam have a great background. It's something for us to remember. Allah Ta'ala has given us the deen. It's a great deen. Let's come to Isha Salah. Isha Salah. What happened with regards to Isha Salah? Yes. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, subhanallah, and 40 days is a very lengthy event. What happened? Where did he go? What occurred? And Allah Ta'ala teaches us these waqiyah, these events Allah has given to us so that we can rectify ourselves and improve and learn from these. He went and he was swallowed into the stomach of the whale, darkness. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. What a great wazifa, lesson, prayer, prescription. That this kalam Allah Ta'ala likes so much, that today for this ummah al-Muslimin, that a person is in extreme difficulty, this is ayat al-Kareemah, recite this, Allah Ta'ala will make his difficulty easy. What a great memory. Why? It was when Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam went through that patch, that phase. It was night time, Isha time, and he was swallowed and he was expelled from the stomach of the whale, the fish, and he did sajda to Allah and he prayed 4 rak'ah salah. So Allah made that Isha from that memory. So all the salahs Allah collected, gathered, Allah Ta'ala made it a collection. And different prophets, different experiences. Then where did Allah call his Habib? The Prophet Muhammad was called to the Arsh. Say subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala was preparing to give the gift to the Ummah. Allah called the Prophet Muhammad to the Arsh. As-salamu alaykum ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanallah. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu. This is all salah, isn't it? التهيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah said, oh my Habib, what is this? Has Adam alayhi salam's event comes into salah? Has Ibrahim alayhi salam's memory will come into salah? Allahu Akbar. Has Uzair will come into this as well? Has Ayyub alayhi salam will come into this? Has Yunus alayhi salam's event? All of this was gathered, collected. Go tell your ummah, my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and pray these salahs. When you pray these 5 salah, then the memory will come of mine and yours meeting, that you came to meet me. And nobody will then forget you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will always remember you, that me and you met. Allah and His Habib, and this will continue till Qiyamah. Every moment we pray Salah, go back, you're going to Sajda, he'll do At-Tahiyyat, Assalamu Alaikum Ayyuhan Nabi, he'll be immersed in the memory of the Prophet Muhammad. The how did Rasulullah go to meet Allah, Miraj, the events, the incidents, how close he got to Allah. The whole event will revolve in the mind of the mu'min, and he'll be thankful for what he is and what he has got. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So where did this start from? From the past. We spoke about the past. So isn't the past a great event? Everything in the past is great. Allah's kept intact Muharram. Allah's given us the month of Muharram. When Muharram comes, then suddenly in our mind comes what? Subhanallah, the Ahl al-Bayt and their sacrifice. What did they do for the deen? And everyone's thinking about that, remembering that in Muharram, we remember Ashura. Then the next month comes another thing, the third month, Ramadan. When Ramadan comes, we remember memories. We're fasting, doing ibadah, taraweeh. But what does a person start to think about? Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Allahu Akbar. Yes, everyone becomes mad and crazy in love. Quran, 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 Laylatul Qadr. Why? Because Quran came, Ramadan came. Everything's hidden behind the veil of the Quran. Allah has given us great ibadah, fasting, staying hungry. And this is a great memory, but Ramadan hasn't even come. Everyone starts to remember Quran, Quran. How much have you read? 15 juz, 15 juz, how many juz? 3 juz today. MashaAllah, it's the Quran khatam. Today is the Khatmul Quran night, and we'll do this tonight and that tonight. Everyone's enjoying and embracing and rejoicing, and masjids, and there's no person who's not reading Quran. Everyone's sitting down with the Quran, and people are reading Quran, reciting, children, elderly. What's happened suddenly? Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Allah said, this is my memory. The Quran is my memory of myself, of my deen. And a person will suddenly get habitual in reading the Quran. What a beautiful memory and action. Hajj time comes, Dil Hajj, 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 Hajj. And Hajj, mashallah, is full of memories, the month of Hajj. That what is there, what place is there where a person doesn't stand? Oh, this happened historically. This Prophet was there. He is Hazrat Umar, radhiyallahu anhu, shrieked and screamed. He went to Hajar al-Aswad and he saw Hajar al-Aswad. And he remembered who? Who did remember? His Mahbub, his master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's in front of Hajar al-Aswad. What memory did he remember? He stopped in front of Hajar al-Aswad. What a great sahabi, khalifa. He had love. He was the ashik, the lover of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he passed by Hajar al-Aswad. He went close to the stone. He stopped and listened to his statement. He understood. He started to speak to the stone. Who? Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And this is called the love, the deep love with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person's in love with someone, then if you look, even Layla, the story of Layla, even a person when he hears that, he understands what's love. So he stood in front of the Hajar al-Aswad, and the Sahaba Kram, they stood there, they said, what's going on here? He went close to the stone. You probably heard this, read this, why should I remind you? But I'll explain to you, just for our revision. He went close to Hajar al-Aswad, Hazrat Umar looked at it closely, and he spoke to Hajar al-Aswad. He said, oh Hajar al-Aswad, Subhanallah, that you are nothing in front of me. You are just a stone. You are just a stone. And we left the worship of the stone, so what are you? Subhanallah. So at first he degraded or demoted. He said, you have no status, Hajar al-Aswad. You are just but a stone. We left worshipping the stones. But I have muhabbat and ishq for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everything, he said, barakah, everything, your barakah blessings are to the side. The world is running after you, kissing you, but you are just a stone. What is it within you? What capacity do you have? But there's one reason, just one reason, that my Mahbub, my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he touched you, he kissed you. Aha. So how can I just pass by you? Look at the ishq for the Prophet. He said, you are nothing, O stone, O Hajar al-Aswad. You seem to me just like a normal stone. I've left the stones and worshipping and etc. But the situation is that you are glorified. Why? Because my Mahbub placed his blessed lips on you. Where? Do you know where he placed them? And here we cannot see, we don't know. The Hajar al-Aswad, that was he kissing Hajar al-Aswad, or was he thinking, imagining that I want to put my lips at the point where the blessed lips of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say Subhanallah. And this is your passion, what you think. But I think that Hazrat Umar's intention was that he was kissing the place where the blessed lips of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam place. This is the tasawwur, the feelings of the ashik. Person gets mesmerized with the mahbub. He pulls on the ashik. If you have ishq, then your mahbub will pull you. He will keep you stood all night long in the thinking, in the thoughts. Have love for somebody and then see your actions. When a mahbub, he loves somebody, he's never far from his ashik, because the ashik will pull on the mahbub. You say, you are with me, you are with me. Where? You weren't far from me. You were close to me. So what was that? What was he revising? If the stone was, if he didn't have the memory of the Prophet kissing Hajrul Aswad, then how would he remember his Mahbub? But the stone was put there, Hajrul Aswad, that when you pass here and pass Hajrul Aswad, then remember my Mahbub, says Allah. So he kissed the stone with that niyyah. So the past is what is important. Another lesson for us. Then we go to Maqam Ibrahim. What is the Maqam Ibrahim? What is it? It's a symbol. But here's a point that comes to my mind I'd like to present to you. That how do we pray Salah? What's the hukum of praying the two nafl? Behind Maqam Ibrahim, ulama, correct me if I'm wrong, if I forget something, explain to me, explain to everybody. Afzal, great as this, when you pray the two nafal salah, what should you be? What should be the style, the method? That the Kaaba is not behind you, that the Maqam Ibrahim is between you and the Kaaba, that blessed place where Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam put his feet. You are behind Maqam Ibrahim, and Kaaba is in the Hajr al-Aswad, the Maqam Ibrahim is between you and the Kaaba. And then you are facing the Kaaba. Is this shirk? No. Imagine the memory here. This is a great position of memory. The Maqam Ibrahim, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. We don't know where he placed his feet during his lifetime on stones. But that stone, it melted and it absorbed his footprints. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was there. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was there. And they floated around the Kaaba. They constructed it. Zamzam, the well of Zamzam, Safa, Marwa. All of these places are places of memory. But when we pray the two nafal, after tawaf, you have to put Maqam Ibrahim between you and the Kaaba. So, subhanAllah, Hajj time. Hajji, you forget the fasting, the salah, everything. Everyone's running to Hajj. Why? Because these are memories of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that teach us the remembrance of Allah. Now where we are sat, say subhanAllah. It's Rabiul Awwal, the month of Rabiul Awwal, subhanAllah. What's come? The great month. What is Rabi? What's come? The spring. What is this called? Bahar. The spring. So everything is a memory. So there must be a memory of this spring, isn't it? Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. How sad that Rabi has come. We don't remember something. Allah Ta'ala has given us a memory in Rabiul Awwal, has He not? SubhanAllah. The true remembrance of Rabiul Awwal, Allah has kept the greatest memory in Rabiul Awwal. SubhanAllah. That this is the king, we can say. The king. The all of the months, this is the head of all the months. All the rahmah, the mercy, the barakah, the Allah's Quran, everything has come into this. This is Rabiul Awwal. Rabiul Awwal is the king of the spring. The spring month and the king of the months. Remember here now. If you say it's darkness, what's in opposition to darkness? Light. And when you say Rabi, you say spring. Then in opposition to spring comes what? Drought. Dryness. Yes. If you talk about Noor, light, then you want to distance yourself from darkness. So when you say Rabi al-Awwal, this is Rabi. This is the spring. So this was the spring that came to eliminate the drought. And what drought was that? That the spring came to eliminate. That drought and poverty was so extreme, the dryness, that until today no generation has seen such a severe drought than this. We look at drought, the leaves drop off the trees, autumn, branches get dry. This is drought for us in the world. But that drought at that time was a severe drought of humanity. Humanity had been lost. People had forgotten what was the meaning of being a human being. The meaning of being a human being had disappeared. Remember when the sunset comes, there was immodesty and lying, deception and haram and lawfulness. And at that generation, that day and age, that those years, there was such extreme loss of iman. The people at that time were fed up. Frustrated. So many gods they'd made. So many gods they'd kissed. So many gods they couldn't understand. How many more gods should we make? How many idols should we worship? What should we do? Extreme of oppression. The kings at that time, there was killing and fighting and looting. This was the pinnacle of unlawfulness. Women were made naked. They used to do tawaf around the Kaaba naked. Immodesty, dhulm, oppression was at its extreme. And there was the age of people who lived like animals. There was extreme drought. That the child, if he was born as a daughter, the mother and father would dig a hole with pride. They would bury their daughter alive. In the history of mankind, never had men... folk, never had mankind heard of such oppression. Can you think? A mother, she gives birth to a daughter, and after giving birth to the daughter, after some days, she digs a hole and the daughter's crying, shrieking, calling out to the parents, and they're burying their daughter alive in a ditch. Can you think about the oppression? The insaniyat, it dropped to the lowest ebb. And Allahu Akbar, that for example, the person, he gets married to the mother of the wife. She hasn't even passed away, the wife. He's marrying the mother of the wife. Such oppression, the uruj of disbelief and wrong actions. There was murder, worse than the dogs and animals attacking each other, the humans were attacking each other. Immodesty, shame, there was nothing included in their lives. Women, they had no rights. Very low level of rights, there was no hukuk. Was this not the generation that passed by? At that time, extreme drought. And where will we remember this? When Rabiul Awwal we come to, then these memories are revived. And they're revived. And if we were living at that time, then you would be getting married to your mother. You would be killing your daughter. Allahu Akbar. Yes? Now who saved you, Allah Ta'ala said? Who taught you? If you were living in that generation, you'd be doing tawaf, naked. You'd be killing people, you'd be grabbing people's money, usurping their property. You'd be playing with your mother, with your daughters. You'd be at the extreme of immodesty. Rabiul Awwal is reminding us this. And at that time, such worse, bad actions at that time. And Allah Ta'ala said there was no limit that the people at that time did not pass. Allah Ta'ala then fulfilled His promise. Allah Ta'ala fulfilled His promise. Allah said, قَدْ جَاكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Allahu Akbar. The time has come, Allah Ta'ala said. And Allah Ta'ala said, the time has come. Allah Ta'ala said, He has come. قَدْ جَاكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah Ta'ala revealed and sent. So what is it? Allah Ta'ala said that my Habib has been sent because He was the wujud-e-kainat. He was the objective of the creation of the universe, to the leaves, to the trees, to everything in nature. Allah Ta'ala promised that my beloved will come to this world at that time when the people of the world will be going towards destruction. And He will be such a nur that from Allah will come such a nur, such a light, that the whole of the dhulamat and oppression in the world will be annulled and cancelled at that time. And who gave us this message? Rabiul Awwal, this month that we're in now. There's no other message in this month, is it? And what everything else we've made, I'll tell you this. I'll explain to you the story today. That what have we made this month? Does anyone remember what I've just said? No. Everything else, where's this all come from? That the memory, what we should remember this month, have we ever thought? We don't even think what we should be remembering. That we should be looking into our lives with shame. That I am stood today in the generation that Noor came to us and took us out of darkness. We're sat in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the spring. Are we not now back to that time? Are we not looking at the immodesty of our mothers and daughters today? Are our eyes not wandering around today with immodesty? And our women, they are wearing the libas of immodesty. And we see our mothers and daughters wearing a libas where they are naked. And we look at that, we appreciate it. Isn't it that day and age now we see zina and we appreciate it now? We accept it? Are we not living in that generation? It's something to think about. Who is reminding us this? Rabiul Awwal is reminding us this. But nobody remembers this. What do we remember? That Shaitan has made us turn the tables. That He removes the genuine memories, what we should be remembering and going towards. And He said that I want to keep you consumed in wasteful activities. May these Muslims not recognize Rabiul Awwal. So Shaitan says, I want to divert the attention and the enjoyment and other things so they forget the original message and they do wasteful activities. Allahu Akbar. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying anything wrong, am I? Yes, is it logical what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, such a big message Rabiul Awwal is giving to us. قَدْ جَاكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah says, and we have hidden that message. We've rejected the message. We're going back to that dark age now. The age before the coming of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We stood in there. I say maybe the difference between now and the drought at the time of the coming of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the difference between 19 and 20, just one. If we analyze, then thousands of things, similarities, thousands of people found. I look at pornography, I look at women in the night, I do chatting with women. What shall I do? Save me, tell me, what shall I do? Thousands of women, they contact men, they send texts and messages. Allah says, Rabiul Awwal will come again. It will come again. Remember Rabiul Awwal. What is Allah Ta'ala? Allah is reviving the generation, the people of today. Reminding. Look at your situation of your life. That your life, is this the life, the nur that I sent the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Is your life in reflection of that? Or are you living a haram in your stomach's haram, on your body's haram, your clothes haram, everything's off, your children haram, everything haram, kullu haram? Is everything haram? You think everything is jais, permissible, and haram, and then to consider haram as lawful, and then to reject the lawful, that with the games of shaitan we go against haram, that Allah is pleased with me. Allahu Akbar. So you change haram to halal, you reject the haram, and then you change it into a deeni activity. You have done this, Allah is happy with me. You change haram to halal, to your itikad's gone, your iman's gone, your belief's gone, your keen's gone, iman's gone, within a second Allah tests you. All these long beards, jubbah, shubahs, within a minute, dhikr, adhkar, within a minute, shaitan, he overcomes the person inside as well. Nothing, he makes you do shirk. He makes you change your itiqad, he takes your iman to the other side. No, I can do this, I'll be safe. From here I'm successful, from here I'll get this success. Within a second, shaitan takes the person out of the deen. And this generation is worse than that previous generation. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not send us the nur, the message that the Prophet is the solution to every difficulty, every jinn, every illness? I swear by Allah, the solution to every problem is present today. The Quran Hakim, Nurun Kitab, such a great kitab that has been revealed to us, such words are in the Quran, such instructions, such kalamad, that the pure, clean mu'min whose batin is clear, he's pure from sins, and no problem, difficulty, all the problems come to him. But if he takes the verses of the Quran in the way they should be and applies them as a solution, I swear by Allah, he will not even realize he's got problems. I swear by Allah. Why does the Quran not take effect? Because inside our rizq is haram. Our earnings are haram. We lie and then we eat. We eat haram. We commit fraud. We deceive. These beards, imamas, appearances, we deceive people. We think we will deceive Allah. The Quran is honest. Allah's kitab is honest. We are liars ourselves. Allah wala, the wali Allah, when I heard the kalamats come out from his blessed mouth, I swear by Allah, that same kalama, he didn't even recite the kalama, and the man, he was corrected. It took a second. If he said it, he was corrected. What was the effect? It was the noor. The reality of life was within him. He was honest. He had the link with Allah. And his words had effect. Yes, and we put the kitab behind us. We believe there's no, this we can do. Twist and turn the deen. Shirk, mushrik. And if we die, we'll die as the mushrik. I'll tell you, such a person like this, I say it openly. Yes, he puts the Quran behind him and follows his desires. If the Quran will not solve our problems, then nothing will solve our problems today in this day and age. Doesn't matter how many methods you try to adopt. Doesn't matter. In the old days, was there a scanning machine? Was there Panadol, capsules, antibiotics? No. Whatever they had, from the verses of the Quran. Yashfi sudurkum, Allah says to the mu'mineen. The Quran, it is the cure and the solution for the mu'mineen. What a great verse Allah is saying. Wa huwa shifa. That the Quran is shifa. It is cure for the mu'mineen. No, I want to do shirk. That we don't have yaqeen in any of the words of the Lord. Who is reminding us this? Come to the point, back to the subject. What is this? Allahu Akbar, Rabbil Awwal. And what have we made Rabbil Awwal? We'll realize this. Yes, just noise and clamor and activities upon activities. Such a serious message, Rabbil Awwal. This great month is given to us, reminding us. And people should understand, we shouldn't be fighting over this meaning of this month and quarreling. We should have khawf and fear that people, shaitan, he overcomes people's minds. People who are learned, they go far from the understanding. It takes them back to the old age. What are people doing today in this reminder month? Either I am mad, either I have considered Rabiul Awwal wrong, incorrect, or those people are mad who have not understood Rabiul Awwal correctly. That what a great memory Allah Ta'ala has given to us, Rabiul Awwal, this great month. What is the spring? This is the spring month. This spring came, the refreshing came, the Prophet came, and Bahar came to the Zamana, Subhanallah. Ya aap kya hai? Zamane mein Bahari aayi, Subhanallah, marhaba, marhaba, Subhanallah. That Rasulullah Sallam came, marhaba, Ahmad ki sadaayi aayi. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, aap kya aaye zamane mein bahar aaye. Now you've come, the days of spring kaham. Now you've come, the days of spring have come, and rahmate phail gayi, aise ghatayein aayi, sweet mercy rains. These are the quenching clouds that came. Subhanallah, brothers, we need to understand what was that bahar, that spring that came. That what was I saying? That what does Rabiul Awwal remind us? That same mahol, the same fizah, the Kaaba was there, and people doing dhulm, oppression, and the winds and the breezes. They were witnessing the wrong. There were thousands of idols being worshipped and prostrated to. The night had passed. And subhanallah. Subah Sadiq time, sunrise. And in the alley, the street of Makkah, the house of Abu Talib, say subhanallah. And there was a light that was lit in that home, the morning time. And three women were sat in the home at that time. And there were two doctors, you know, the women doctors, the maternity doctors. And there was one Fatima bin Abdullah, and one was Shifa. And one was the blessed woman lying down. And there was silence. And there was a beautiful breeze that came at that time. It was a different scene. And nobody could understand what's about to occur at that time. A beautiful environment had suddenly come about. Then that great news came to the universe. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ came from the heavens. Rasulullah's birth occurred, took place at that time. Subah Sadiq time, sunrise time. And what a great gift Allah Ta'ala gave, a great birth, a child, such a blessed child. What was his glory? That there was, nobody could understand, that was that the dark environment of Makkah. What did they see? The Fatima bint Abdullah, she said, what did I see? That suddenly stars started to descend from the skies, and I felt that the stars will come onto my head. And that room was full of noor and light, such a light we couldn't see nothing apart from the light in that room where the Prophet was born. And the angels and the jamaat of the angels were all round, gathered Hazrat Amina bint Abdullah. And she said, I saw a noor, and that noor, I could see the palaces of Sham, Syria, and that noor. Subhanallah. She said, what's happened there suddenly? And she said, I could see the palaces of Kasra, the pillars of the palaces, 14 pillars. Suddenly an earthquake came and they crumbled to dust. 1,000 years, the fire that of Persia that people worship, suddenly that fire, it was extinguished. And the idols of Kaaba, they flipped. They were flipped. And Shaitan disappeared at that time. And the heavens and the fragrances and the breeze suddenly came. That the Prophet came. Aapke aaye zamane mein bahare aaye. Now you've come, the days of spring have come. Marhaba, marhaba. Ahmad ki sadaein. Welcome, welcome. Ahmad's cool has come. Subhanallah. What a great mahal, great environment. This was Rabiul Awwal. The gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came with glory. Mahbubi Rabbil Alameen, the beloved of Allah, came to the universe. Soon as he came, after 10 minutes, and he was lying on his side, then Hazrat Amina said that subhanallah, from the heavens came, and there was no khatan at that time. The child, he was pure with noor. No physical circumcision. Beautiful. Such a beautiful child. Such a beautiful fragrance. The whole of Makkah was enveloped with that beautiful fragrance. Allahu Akbar. Rabiul Awwal is reminding us. Do you ever remember this event? Yeah, what is the day today? 7th of Rabiul Awwal. We should remember the incident. What a great month. Yes, we don't never forget the birthday of a son. Birthday celebration, 2-3 weeks before. Bring this shopping, food, cake. We need to cut the cake. Whose birthday? Son's birthday. Allahu Akbar. And who is this? Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets. We don't even know how was he born. What did he come with? The message. And if we want to do it, then we do it the wrong way. As I said, yes. That there's no method, no means, no objective. What are we doing in remembering Rabiul Awwal? If we have to remember, then remember it like this. Sit down, think, ponder, analyze. So, subhanAllah, he was slightly inclined to the side. And after inclining, then he went into sajda. Such a lengthy sajda, prostration. And after prostration, then when he was upright, then he put his hand up. And he upright, his finger, the shahada finger, was straight. My Rabb, I have come, I bear witness. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Allahu Akbar. The coming of the Prophet ﷺ. This was the coming of Rasulullah ﷺ. This was the bahar, the spring, that came with a beautiful fragrance that spread to the whole of the environment. Justice came, criminality was ended, immodesty went, women had shame, their rights came. Women were too shame. Who gave the rights? Rabiul Awwal came with the rights for women. Who taught us the rules and principles of life? Where did justice come from? Where did it come from that the slave, the worker, the son, the slave, the son of the slave, that he can come and sit with his master, the Prophet, and eat on the same position? Shall I tell you an event about the ghulam? Hazrat Aswad, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He was a black sahabi companion, ghulam, sat distressed. The Prophet of Allah said, Aswad, what's wrong? What's the issue? What's the issue? He said, oh Prophet, my heart doesn't feel, I tell you. He said, I'm black, I'm not smart and handsome. Who will care about me? But I'm a human being, oh Prophet. I feel like getting married as well. Who will get married to me? Which woman? And then Rasulullah rahmah came into life. This was Rahmatul Alameen, who came to teach equality. He said, have you got anything? He said, I have a horse to my, that's my, my, I own a horse. Rasulullah said, bring your horse. Bring your horse. So, and he came, and that he said, when you go in the path, then you have to see, is there such a sahabi who you can see, who can write and say to him that the Prophet is calling you, come to the Prophet. So when he went, he saw Hazrat Ali first and foremost. And he said, Ali, the Prophet is calling you, quickly go. What is it that you have to write something? I need to go and buy a horse. So he brought the horse. He came to the court of the Prophet. Hazrat Ali came and he said, oh Prophet, you remembered me? He said, yes. Write. Have you brought the paper that you're going to write on? He said, yes. Well, okay. So they write a letter to the king of Africa that my ghulam is coming to you and you should respect him, and your daughter is the most beautiful, then wed her to him. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's a long event. If I tell you that, very great event, great incident, alhamdulillah. Shall I tell you? Then he came, he said, take this letter. He didn't say anything. Just go to the court of the king, that this is the king, the letter from the Prophet. He went, he read the letter, the king, and his hands started trembling. He looked at the ghulam, the sahabi, the black sahabi, and the king, Habshi, African, and he had a beautiful daughter, and he called his wazir minister. He said that this letter has come from the Prophet Muhammad sallam. He was Islam. He said, how can I reject this? And he said, wazir, that this is impossible. He said that there are princes who are sending the proposals, kings are sending the proposals. How can you give your daughter to this person? You will spoil the environment. He said, what shall I do? He said, I'll explain. Leave it to me. I'll go and explain. He said, how will you explain to the Prophet Muhammad? He said, I'll explain everything. Leave it to me. Reject this proposal. Don't do this. Never wed your daughter to him. Reject it. So the king said, okay. I cannot accept this proposal, and everything I'll give for you, I can give everything to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon his saying and instructions, but I can't accept this proposal because she will never accept. So how can I make her listen and wed to you? And that Islam says is, how can I force her to marry you? He said, okay, no problem, I'll go back. So Hazrat Aswad going back on the horse, and the dust was coming from the hooves of the horse, the dust. And then he heard the noise of the hooves of the horse, and he stopped and he came close, and he said that, where are you going? He said, I'm going back. What did you come for? He said, it's a long story. He said, tell me, why did you come? He said, I came to get married. And then what happened? And I didn't get married. What happened? What did he say? The king rejected, and she picked up the cup. She said, I'm that same princess that you wanted to marry. Subhanallah. And I rejected my father. I want to marry you. So he said, Subhanallah, this is a very long event. So the story, the lesson is, this was Rabiul Awwal, the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallam, that it revived insaniyat, humanity. Do we see this in today's generation? What akhlaq and conduct, and what laws were given, what words were given, what principles were taught to us as mankind. And this is what Rabiul Awwal reminds us, Subhanallah, that the Prophet was coming, his laws, his principles, Nurun Kitabun Mubeen. So what should we do in this month, in this time? What should we do in Rabiul Awwal? How do we celebrate Rabiul Awwal? What did we do in Ramadan? We read Quran. In Hajj, Dil Hajj, we did Hajj. In Muharram, what do? We remembered Ashura, the memories of Ashura. And now, Rabiul Awwal, let's promise to you, let's revive ourselves, let's make some promises, resolutions, that those principles upon which we are Muslims, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Let's revise this. We made a pact, an agreement with the Prophet Muhammad when he stood on the Mount of Safa, Umarwa, and said, Qulu la ilaha illallah. And everyone said that if we hadn't made this promise, then how could we be Muslims? And this was the promise after which we became Muslims. We recited the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That we bear testimony, we testify that Allah is one and Muhammad is his Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oneness of Allah, you are Rabb Allah, your orders, and we will obey your orders in copying and imitating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nurun fi kitabin mubin. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. It's your kitab, Allah, the Quran, and we will follow the orders of the Quran, and we will pray salah due to your order, Allah, but we will pray in the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You told us, the Quran told us to fast. It's your order, Allah, but we will fast in the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. You will tell us to do adl, justice, and we'll do justice, we'll meet our justice in the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You made our faces, and we'll make our faces the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to. You told us to wear clothes, and wear clothes the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore clothes. You told us to pray salam, and we'll prostrate like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do such that. Nurum fi kitab mubin. Not, we make our faces like monkeys, and we spoil our faces, we wear clothes the way we want. This is not the tariqah of Islam. The soul of Islam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's obedience, what is nur? His kitab and the sunnah, the nur of his sunnah. The kitab is Allah, in one hand is the sunnah, in the other hand is kitab. Whichever Muslim has these two things in his hands, Allah will announce that I am pleased with you, O Muslim, you are practicing correctly, the rest you're off. And Rabbiul Awwal has given you the message, you can do what you want, the rest of Rabbiul Awwal will see when you die, were you honest or was the Quran honest? Promise to Allah in this month. Promise, make a resolution. Promise Allah. Rabiul Awwal has come to remind us. Today if you make a promise in Rabiul Awwal, then the rest of the months that will come to remind us of different practices, they'll be accepted. Otherwise Hajj won't be accepted, Ramadan won't be accepted, Quran won't be accepted, nothing will be accepted. Accepted will be today's resolution and promise that we should not forget. And this is Rabiul Awwal and why it has come. Now tell me, is this honest or is that honest what is happening to Rabiul Awwal? Question marks. You can answer. I'm not arguing, debating. Just think, analyze. What do you see? Where do you see love? Where do you see reality? And where do you see fake and things that have been made up? Tell me, that is an action to fulfill your nafs, pleasing the nafs, doing actions that have no relationship with Rabiul Awwal, feeding the nafs, making the nafs up in the hair. We are pleasing Allah. We are pleasing Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That I forgot what was Rabiul Awwal. I've rejected many sunnahs, and I'm spoiling my life on small points that I think your sunnah is nothing, insignificant, minor. Tariqah is nothing. So where's the nur gone? That Allah Ta'ala sent the nur to the dunya. Where's that nur gone today? It's disappeared. So today, less in this month of Rabiul Awwal. We may not get Rabiul Awwal again. It might not come next year. So my brother, subhanAllah, today whoever has embraced Rabiul Awwal, accept Allah will be happy and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be happy. Let's promise to Allah that we will follow every sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. We'll bring every sunnah into our lives. We won't consider any sunnah small. We will write a contract today. Promise that we will dislike all of those things that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked. And we will love all those things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved. That's it. That's the basis of our life, our lifestyle. The rest, we have no argument with anyone. No fighting with anyone, no quarrel, no fitna, no disputes, no arguments. We have just the regard for our lives. We have promised to Allah today and we will live our lives like this, my friends. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and to all of you as well. Ameen.